FM. This is CIOI, Hamilton's home for alternative.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back, and thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I hope you've had a great Tuesday so far, and I hope this just improves it. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, as always. And if you've never tuned in before, this is a radio show where I interview local musicians, whether that's Hamilton, Toronto, a surrounding area, anything like that. So if you're interested in that, then keep listening. And it's so great to have you. Tonight, I am hanging out with Alex and Jim of Alice in Transit. Alice in Transit are an indie rock band based in Hamilton, Ontario. You can find the band on all socials as Alice in Transit and under the same name on all streaming services. So, hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
It's all right. Good. How are you?
Good.
Fantastic. Just to kind of give a little introduction into who you are and everything, how would you two describe your sound and style as individual musicians?
I'm glad you actually said individual musicians because we have completely different kind of sounds, I would say. So I was in musical theater and then I found blues music. So I would say that my kind of sound is like blues rock, whereas Jim is more into the Britpop 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And what specific musicians do you find that you take the most from?
So for me, I'm really into Etta James, those kind of blues musicians, or it's Jim?
So obviously, I'm from the UK, so I'm a massive Oasis fan, The Verve, and then some more modern ones as well, like Kasabian as well, that kind of thing. But so obviously, there's a huge music scene from where I'm from, so it's all guitar-based music as well.
Yeah, totally. And do you remember what you listened to as kids? What sort of music was played around your house and what you grew up with? And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
So for me, my parents are massive. Like, my parents are from Scotland, so Big 80s new wave scene. So like The Cure, they loved Wham, so we were playing like a lot of 80s music in the house. So I would say that, yeah, probably influenced me a little bit, yeah.
Mine was totally different from the fact that I liked, right? So I grew up, my parents had the cassettes in the car, and it was Neil Diamond, who was brilliant.
Nice.
I do love Neil Diamond. Kenny Rogers and Shania Twain.
Yeah, and Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. Oh,
yeah. Your mom loves Dolly Parton.
Yeah. That was around the house when we were growing up.
It's funny, yeah, it's nothing that we listen to now, I guess, but I don't know if they influence the way we play music, but I definitely still love those 80s bands. Like, we're really into NXS at the moment. So, yeah, and you always kind of take little bits and pieces from the music that you're listening to. You might not hear it in our songs, but it's there.
Yeah.
What kind of influences do you think you take when it comes to creating the band sound?
good question.
If it sounds good and we like it, I think we have such a variety of like bands and sounds that we like. If it feels good when we're playing it, then that's kind of how it goes. It's not really, we're trying not to box ourselves in and go, oh no, this doesn't sound like us, so we're not going to do that. It's like if it feels good and it sounds good and everyone's having a good time, especially at rehearsals, then we kind of just go with that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that the music that we have on Spotify is representative of the repertoire that we have at the moment. We actually, Jim and I are talking about releasing a full acoustic album. So we'll listen to a song and then we'll say, I want to write one like that. And then we maybe rip off a little bit, but... wide range, I would say.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. I'm looking forward to that album.
Yeah, us too.
Yeah.
We haven't recorded it yet.
Yeah, it's getting quite bad, the amount of songs we've got sitting around.
Yeah.
Like, we should really work on
this. Yeah, we're going to work on this, and then we accidentally write a new song.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. How did you two first get into playing music? Did you start on instrumentals, vocals? What started first?
Like as individuals or during for the band?
As individuals.
My mom put me into music right away when I was like 5 years old. I was doing musical theater.
Wow.
I guess that's where I get my belting range. You've got to be loud if you're on a big stage.
Definitely.
With no mics.
Yeah.
But, I would say, like, I started performing very, very young. But I think I started realizing that I wanted to be in a band around, like, I don't know, 20, I guess. Yeah. 19, 20 years old. And you, Jim?
Yeah, just with friends, you know, you were trying to start bands and jam. Oh, didn't really go anywhere. That's kind of how it started. And then you realize that you enjoy it and you just kind of keep trying to grow it as much as you can. So,
yeah.
But then, like, when we started, we originally started just doing, like, Alex and I doing acoustic, like, covers. We just do open mics.
Mm-hmm.
So that at that time we were in the UK. So, you know, we played in Scotland and then in England and like kind of all up and down the country.
Yeah, but we always knew we wanted to be in like a rock band. And we just didn't meet the right people at the time. And then when we came to Canada, it was completely like we're going to do this. We're going to be a band.
Mm-hmm.
And we met our bassist, Chesco, and the drummer, Keegan. And yeah, it's really, really worked.
Yeah, since then.
Yeah.
So how long has it been now?
Oh, I don't know. Good question.
Few years with the current. That's how we started, just like open mics and stuff. But we did a few here as well. When we first moved to Canada, that's how we kind of were like, oh, we have to try and get out there and meet people. So you just go and do open mic nights and all that kind of thing, do a couple of covers. One thing leads to another. And then before you know it, you started a full band. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Real gap.
What do you think is like the biggest difference between the UK music scene or maybe in the area that you grew up in the UK versus the Canadian one?
That's a good question. We see a massive difference, I think. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Like, Jim would probably have more of an input than I was. I wasn't there too long, but Jim?
Like, there were huge bands from the 90s. Obviously, Oasis was one of the big ones, who kind of didn't really make it across in North America. Mm-hmm. Same with The Verve, who are also like pretty big. They had some massive records. So growing up over there in the UK, like you grow up with these artists all the time, like they're everywhere, like they're all on the radio all the time. Well, they were, especially were a few years ago. So like you're obviously drawn to that and all your friends are listening to these bands from the UK, from England, and that sort of thing. And there's a whole scope of them. I mean, you've got, like, the Stone Roses as well, who are another band from Manchester. So you kind of, you all grow up listening to the same things, but they didn't really get much traction over here in North America. So it's hard to try and talk to people about your influences because they just hear, like, the same three songs, like Wonderwall. Well, no, there's, like, a whole... there's a whole back catalogue there that when you grow up with it, it means a little bit more to you, right? Like, Canada has the Tragically Hip. I had never heard of them until I came here. And I don't really kind of understand it as much as, like, people from Canada that must do. They love them, and they're a huge band. Mm-hmm. So I think it's when you kind of grow up and go through, like, your formative years listening to this music, and then it's, like, yours and your own. So when you go somewhere else where it's not quite as big, it's hard to convince people that your band that you like is good. Just as good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. When do you two think that you began to look at music as something more than a hobby?
That's a hard question. Since I was probably 7 or 8 years old, I mm-hmm. always wanted to be a pop star. Like, mm-hmm. it was just my it wasn't a matter of if, it was when. And I thought by 16 years old, I'd be this massive, like, Avril Lavigne type pop star.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's ever been a hobby for me. I was always involved in music, and I know it's a cliche and people say that all the time, but yeah, it's kind of just always been in my life. So I never looked at it as a hobby, more of I have a goal to achieve with music, and it should be able to play on the biggest stages in the world, and have people listen to the words that you write down and sing along to them. Like, that's always been the goal for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you always know that you want to, everyone wants to be like a massive super.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, when I was growing up with my friends, we would walk around and, you know, think we were Liam Gallagher. We weren't even in a band. And it's like, yeah, we're going to be the biggest band in the world. Mm-hmm. We didn't even do anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you just kind of know that you want to do it.
Yeah.
You just kind of...
Yeah. And
the
moment, it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. How did the band meet?
So we met in Scotland, Jim and I, accidentally.
Yeah.
I think we met on Halloween, and I thought Jim was dressed up, and he wasn't.
Yeah. I was in a band in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to get into our rehearsal space, and we couldn't. So we decided to just go out for a couple of drinks. It was Halloween.
Yeah.
And it was pretty dead, actually. There was no one out where we were. And then my friend, who was a singer in the band, saw this table of
girls.
Of girls. And was like, right, I'm going to go and talk to them. And we were like, okay. And then we all just kind of migrated across to the same table, and then...
Yeah,
Alex and I got talking.
Yeah, and then I stole him from his band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but when we got here, the band lineup that we have now isn't the same as it was when we first got here. So there was a couple of other bassists and drummers, but mm-hmm. When we actually Jim met Chesco through work, and. I met Keegan through my work, so when you just get to talking about music and, oh yeah, I play bass, oh yeah, I play guitar, like, I think that's how it came together, yeah. Really, and you just jam one day and it works.
So all that stuff I said earlier about going to open mic, just ignore that.
But we actually did meet them through work. We did go to open mic.
No, we did.
And,
we did.
And we met, like, different bassist drummers, but we didn't mesh as well as we do with Chesco and Keegan, the bassist and drummer that we have now. But yeah, it was, yeah, happened through work, which is funny. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Did you all have the same vision for the band?
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe the vision is always changing in terms of the music that we play. I think we all have different influences. Like, Chesco's really big into, like, Led Zeppelin and, and Chili Peppers, yeah. So, I think it's okay to have different visions, as long as we all take turns skipping work once in a while to do gigs, yeah. But I'm not sure if the vision changed.
I don't think so.
No. I think we've always... I don't think we, as a band, think too far ahead. Like, we just want to book as many gigs as possible and write as many good songs as possible. So I think that's the way we look at it as a band.
Yeah, that's a great goal. Yeah. How would you describe the sound and style of the band specifically?
Say that again, sorry?
Yeah. How would you describe, you know, I asked before, how would you describe your own sound and styles, like, individually? But how would you describe the band?
Oh, a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We get such strange answers, like, we'll show music to friends and family, and we get an array of different artists that they liken us to.
We've been everybody. We've been Florence and the Machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else? Who was the other one? We played a gig a few weeks ago with a couple of our friends, Revive the Rose, who were
a really good band. Yeah. From Niagara.
And another few bands, Dirty Rick and the Mickeys.
I was there.
The Mickeys described us as what's that punk band? I can't remember what it was called. It was like the big operatic singer. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, we listened to them in the car.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Start with an M though.
Yeah, I think it might have.
Anyways, we've
heard Misfit.
But I don't think we sound like that. But in terms of what we think we sound like, it's very, very difficult to pin down because all our songs, I think, are different.
Yeah, especially the new ones that we've been working on. And we've got a lot of new songs. Obviously, but like, other than that, you just had so much free time to just sit and come up with stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's taken a bit of a turn from the stuff that's out already. And you have a lot more time to work on it, so we have more ideas.
Like some of the bands that we're into right now, like I am really into a London band called Wolf Alice, who just played the Opera House on Tuesday last week. So I think we just wrote a song that's quite reminiscent of them. But I wouldn't say that. It's very hard to compare. I think when you are in that band, you'd like to liken yourself to like really famous bands. Like I think we say like Jefferson Airplane and maybe a little bit the Black Keys. Mm-hmm. But we kind of let other people decide for us, and whether we agree or not, it doesn't matter to us.
Yeah. We'll just keep writing loads of different songs, and then eventually everyone will like at least one of them.
Exactly.
That's
there you
true.
Go. Yeah, that was a great show, by the way. I was there, and I snapped some pics of you guys, so I'll send that to you once those get edited.
Oh, the Hamilton, the Corktown one.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
That was a good night.
That was fun, yeah.
Great to see you, yeah.
The bands that we played with were just all over the place.
Yeah,
you had punk, and you had classic rock, Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
Totally, yeah. So moving to Hamilton and getting introduced to the Hamilton music scene, what do you think about it, and what was your first impression coming into it?
I love it. I think it's more like a British city.
Really?
Because it's proper working class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got all the industry that's there. It's exactly like you would see in Glasgow and that sort of thing, and it felt like that as well.
Yeah.
Like when we were first walking around, it was this feels like the closest to home that I've ever been. So.
Yeah, don't tell anyone, but we actually live in Burlington.
Right, that's okay.
The rest of our bandmates are in Hamilton, and we love it. Like, we walk around Burlington, we're like, we don't really belong here, but you go to Hamilton, and it's just completely different feel to it. We love it, and there's so many great bands out here, like really good bands that we've had the pleasure of playing with. So
yeah. What do you think makes the Hamilton music scene stand out compared to maybe like the Toronto music scene or other places around here?
You know what? Everyone's like quite tight knit, I would say. Like you meet a band or you meet somebody from a band and you like best friends like that night. And I mean, it might be the alcohol, but you keep in touch and like you play multiple shows together and like, I don't know, you create like a really good like, group of musicians together.
Yeah. And they all come out and support as well.
Yeah.
They all come
and
see other bands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I love. Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you get bands that come out and support everyone else. Yeah, so that's what I mean. I don't know if Toronto is the same way. I don't know as many musicians out there, but yeah, Hamilton. Yeah, and we're still kind of getting into the music scene in Hamilton. I think it takes a little bit, but yeah, we meet new bands like every time we go out.
Yeah,
it's really fun.
Yeah. Who are some local bands that you've connected with here in Hamilton, and which ones do you think deserve a lot more spotlight than they currently have?
So we actually did quite recently, earlier this month, we did a CD release party with a band called Shot Down Twice. And if you heard like the lead singer, Carmen North, incredible voice. So that's a band that I think like they started during the pandemic, so they're definitely going to get bigger for sure. Who else from Hamilton? Sometimes I forget who's from Hamilton, who's from the outskirts.
like us.
You know what, you can include the outskirts. I mean, anything really local.
They're from Welland, so it's quite outskirts, but Revive the Road, great band.
Totally.
And really good group of guys as well. They're hilarious. So that would be another band that we've really gotten to know well, and they put on an amazing show, which you would have seen, actually.
I have a few times.
Yeah. And Dirty Rick.
Yeah, they were cool.
Yeah, very, like, 70s, like, proper rock band, so... Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot more, and I wish I wrote them down, actually.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
there's so many, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. If Ellis in Transit got to collaborate with any musician, and I mean, you can go big on this one, who would you choose?
Ooh, good question. Well, you go first. Can you think of any, like, massive... That's a hard question, actually.
Yeah,
so many bands I'd love to collaborate with.
I would like the Brian Jones Town Massacre. Anton Newcomb. I think he would be a cool one to work with.
Yeah.
I see him post stuff all the time, and it's just he's so experimental. I think you would learn so much from him.
Yeah,
that would be one.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And they're coming as well next week.
Yeah. I would like to do a duet with, like, someone big, like Dua Lipa or something. Why not?
Harry Styles?
Yeah, maybe. Why not? Yeah. Or Sam Fender. He's got a cool sound. Yeah. He's starting to get big over here now, which is great. I heard his song on the radio. I think Indie 88 were playing it. Like, that's massive already, because he's just, like, a little Geordie.
Yeah.
which is means a lad from Newcastle, which, kind of started off small. But I think he's going to get quite big, like Louis Capaldi did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, yeah, any artist, if you're listening, and you want to collab with us.
It's not Boy Slim still doing music.
I'm not sure.
That would be a cool one.
Yeah. Chasing Status,
Some DJs, I think that sounds good as
I've
well.
Always had this idea of, my voice being remixed like crazy and, being on some massive track that everyone just raves to. That would be very cool.
Yeah, that would probably be
Yeah.
And it's completely different from the music you make as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Is there anyone local that you'd love to collab with?
Probably the bands that we've mentioned already. Revive the Road, that'd be cool. We could do a nice little duet on stage.
Yeah. Or even some acoustic stuff.
Yeah, I would do
that. Would be pretty
stuff.
Good.
Yeah. Maybe we can do something with the Arkell.
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Hamilton Band. Big Hamilton Band. Yeah. I really like the beaches as well, so I would love to do something with the beaches. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, they've got some tunes.
Yeah, not that they're local. I think they're, like, Toronto way, but...
No, still. Same area.
Yeah.
Ontario. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Especially nowadays, you can almost do it over email.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Record and email it to someone.
Yeah, that's true.
And they do that a little bit. So.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from Ellis in Transit. Gucci Socialist is a reference to the term Champagne Socialist, and it's a tongue-in-cheek title about musicians who hide their industry connections. for anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with the Hamilton-based indie rock band Ellis in Transit. So we just came back from playing Gucci Socialist, your latest song, released just this year. How long did that song take to write?
Two parts. We had the first bit. This was a song, actually, that we kind of came up with through, like, during the lockdown. But, like, we write all the time. But we had the first, like, little chord progression for ages.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to do with it.
We didn't know where to go,
So, and then just one of those things, you kind of stumble across the next part, which was just better playing minor chords, make more major.
Well, I think what happened was we had this riff, and then, obviously, lockdown happened.
Yeah.
And then when we got back together with the band, we kind of came up with the second half of the song.
The drop, like, half-time drop, that's what we call.
And when we talk about how we... we'll be really into a band or a musician and then kind of try to write a song like theirs. That was Arctic Monkeys inspired, the first part of it anyways. Yeah.
Seems like a very Arctic Monkeys title too.
Yeah, that's actually, we can't take credit for the name. The title comes from part of a poem by a 70s punk poet named John Cooper Clark.
Oh, cool.
Jim reads, like we read, like, a lot of books. We read poetry, and that kind of stood out for us, that line in a poem, which is, what is it, Euro-Communist Gucci Social.
Yeah. Check out some poetry by John Cooper Clark.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Very good,
I might have to.
He was actually the guy... His poems are on the school curriculum across in England.
And, oh, really?
The teacher apparently read out some of his poems, and that was what inspired Alex Turner
from the Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, to then go and write in that kind of style.
Well, there we go.
Definitely worth listening. He does like his live videos of him, like, reading his poems.
He actually opens for the... He opened for the Sex Pistols back in the 70s. Very cool.
Just doing poetry.
So. Well, there we go.
Came
full circle. That's cool. Where did the lyrics come from on that single?
You know what? I'll take the reins. You know what? My notes app on my phone is just full of lines and words and lyrics, and I think that's what happened. It's just bits and pieces from words that I would write down. I think we came up with the first part. Jim played the guitar riff, and then I started singing the...
The melodies.
You got a smooth car, talking hard, living off your daddy's estate. That was the first line, and then we're like, hey, we've got to write a song around these words. So I think that's what happened.
It kind of set the theme, definitely.
It did set the theme, for sure,
And
then you just keep chipping away at it.
Before
you know it, it's kind of, it's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who did you record and produce that song with?
We recorded at Catherine North Studios in Hamilton, actually.
With the engineers, Will Cran. Who is really cool. So if there's anyone out there looking in there, Catherine North, Will Cran, he is so laid back. Like, it's unbelievable.
But really knows what he's talking about.
Really does. And it's just relaxing. We did our first EP, actually, in Catherine North as well, with Will. And it was kind of our first proper recording session. You don't really know what to expect, but he was really, really cool.
And really helped us with some of the songs.
Yeah, definitely felt more confident when we went in to record this. Like, I guess we have a second EP on the way. But that song, it didn't take very long, I don't think.
No.
Not really. Actually, interesting, the lead part in that song was just...
It was one take.
We just messing around, let's do some lead over the second part of the song. And then it was like, oh, that sounds pretty good. And then Will was like, right, let's do it again.
If we could, do a second take.
Yeah, do a second take. And it's just like, why?
It wasn't working, yeah. So we're like, let's just keep the first one.
Keep that first one.
Yeah.
Cut little bits out.
Yeah.
That'll do. But I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah, good.
The reverb on. I'm good.
What do you hope your listeners take away from the song?
The stuff on, I mean, I know that we're kind of poking fun at all those nepotism babies. I mean, we don't do it with a chip on our shoulder. It's more of a joke than anything else. But as musicians who don't have the funds that some of these big artists have, I think it's very hard to make it in this industry, especially nowadays, because just because of money. So I think the takeaway is that just because you're I don't know, actually. You know what, never mind. I don't know where I was going with that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say something really deep and then nothing came out.
No problem at all. So now Gucci Socialist is the first single that you've released since 2020. Was this hiatus COVID-based?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it kind of ruined everything.
Yeah.
Ruined everything for everyone. Though.
Well, seriously, yeah.
It was very annoying.
Not to be dramatic or anything, but...
Yeah.
Oh, it definitely did, yeah. Yeah, well...
Yeah, it was kind of... We had some good momentum before. Like, you know, I think we were doing, like, a gig a week almost, which was pretty good. And then...
Yeah.
We were thinking about going back into the studio, but then... Obviously, we all know what happened.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, it gave us a chance to work on, like, other songs. Because Gucci wasn't written at that point. So, I mean, I think we had songs that we were maybe thinking about recording, and now we've kind of put them on the back burner because we've written new ones that are just so much stronger. Mm-hmm. So, maybe a blessing in disguise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. The single before Gucci Socialist was Hands Up. What's that song about?
Well, I was going back now.
Yeah. Quite a bit back.
We don't even play that anymore.
Yeah, we don't even play that at our live shows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a good question, actually. Was Hands Up our last... I thought Break and Chains was...
I think that was the last. Single one
that
Hands Up is the one
we
Hands Up.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it?
Very good question that I don't have the answer for.
Oh, you know what? I think I did get that wrong. I think I was looking at the wrong area of your Spotify. It is Breaking Chains.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was the last one we did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that was just after a rehearsal, I think. And I just started playing that little chord with a bass rundown, and then I think don't you quote your granddad in that?
Yeah, I did quote my granddad in it, yeah. you've beat the, was it could be worse than that, you're playing the best, yeah.
Yeah.
But that song we actually, it was when Skyfall came out, right? Skyfall. And we're like, ooh, we should write a song like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim started playing the guitar. I was like, ooh. And then I think it just came together really fast, that one.
Yeah. Very similar to the writing of some of the other songs.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah. At that time, though, when we went to record, it was like, right, we want these songs to sound more like we do live.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't try and layer it, all of them, too much. It was like, right,
we
want them to sound like us.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, obviously I think it sounds really good, but now we've kind of, it's more like right now, getting on guitar on that.
Yeah, we layer it a lot now, yeah. Let's make it sound as good as we can, instead of just worrying about, oh, that doesn't sound like the
like
way you play it live, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff in Gucci Socialist, like there's keys, obviously tambourine, lead guitar, we're a full-piece band, you know, guitar, bass, drums and vocals.
And I can't play guitar.
But it still sounds good, though, I think. So.
Yeah, definitely does. Do you have a favorite single of yours? And like, you can each answer that if you'd like.
A favorite single that's out now?
Yeah.
Or that we have in the works.
I guess that's out right now. We don't want spoilers, so.
That's true. My favorite song is 1,000 Feet Deep. Yeah. Why are you so surprised about that? What's yours?
Don't Let It Get Away.
Oh, yeah, Don't Let It Get Away.
Yeah.
Jim has taken that song and extended the outro to about 8 minutes when we're playing it live.
Definitely go a while, so. It's good, because then if you, like, you know, you burn through some songs, you can fill up the set list. You just drag that one out. So.
Yeah, sometimes...
for a while.
Yeah, sometimes the band that created the night will come up to you last minute and say, look, I know your set was supposed to be 35 minutes, but somebody's dropped out, so can you play 45? And we're like, yeah, we'll just extend, don't let it get away for another 7 minutes.
No problem. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
The lyrics are really good in that.
And another single that you released in 2020 is Feeling Alive. What's that song about?
Yeah, we actually recorded that one at home.
Yeah, that's we did it acoustically, like with a Mac and
computer.
Yeah,
we've had that for ages, and I think it was actually, when did we release that? Was that during COVID? We were like, we should probably release something to keep people interested, and we had this demo knocking about.
Yeah,
for ages. So we were like, oh, that's a really good song. We should. Should try and polish it a little bit and just go back and relearn it and see if we can record it and see what it sounds like. And then that's what we did. I mean, just in a bedroom, recorded the guitars.
Yeah.
And just, I think it's just one guitar, one acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And then your vocals. And then, I think that's the only one at the minute that's been released that we did just recorded at home.
But that's an old one. Like, that's older than any of the other things that we have on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded that, I think, before we even had a full band.
Yeah.
Definitely a problem we have. We have so many songs that we write, and we go, oh, that's really good. And then, before you know it, you're writing the next song, and you go, oh, that's really good as well. And then, the first one you wrote is, like, shelled.
Yeah, and you only have so much money to go get it recorded.
That's why we were talking about doing an acoustic record, because we've got, like, so many songs, and it's like, well, they're really good. It's a shame to just leave them.
Yeah, some, like, really beautiful ones, actually, like this song called Heaven Now, which we actually have posted a clip. Like, I think it's just a recording on, like, Facebook or something.
Yeah.
But we're like, we should really record that and just release it as a part of an acoustic album.
I think that we'll probably do that as well.
Well, that's a great problem to have. I mean, you're writing too many good songs.
Always. It's like you pick one up and it could be the same chords you've played like a million times.
But. Yeah, we're really good at writing a great half song. It's just trying to come up with the second half of the song that we struggle with.
Finishing the song.
Yeah.
And then finishing it and go, right, leave that.
Yeah, let's not do anything with that for 4 years.
Not on the USB.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a posthumous album down the line, I don't know.
I hope not.
So, I'm going to interrupt our interview for a quick second because Alice in Transit actually have an exclusive snippet for an upcoming single for you guys. So, the song is called Crashing, and here's the clip. Well, there it is, guys, and I'm so excited for that release. Do you guys have a planned date for that release?
We were just back in Catherine North yesterday, just finishing up the mix. So once we get the artwork sorted, which I think we're going to do this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to try to get it out as soon as possible.
Yeah, so.
But we really like that song. Like, yeah. It's completely different from anything that we have out. Mm-hmm. It's more of like that, more poppy kind of mainstream. Yeah.
Nothing like Gucci.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a couple questions about it, or should we keep it kind of secretive for now?
No, you can ask. Cool. Ask away.
Okay. What would you say that song's about, and what are the lyrics about?
So, with Crashing, it's so I personally have moved around a lot, so it's kind of that feeling of after leaving a love behind and moving to a new country or a new city far away. It's that feeling that you have about them, wanting to call them, missing them. That's basically it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you hope your listeners, after that single's released and they can listen to it fully, what do you hope they're going to take away from it?
I hope they see, like, what we talked about, but the different kind of songs that we write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just
hard rock.
Yeah, or like high energy or like loads of drums and guitars. Like, it's definitely a different song. And it's more, we have a few more of that kind of feel as well. So, like, I think I'll start to see some of the variety of music.
It's hard because when we do live shows, we try to keep the songs as upbeat as possible to keep people entertained, people engaged. So I really hope that we can play that song live one day. I want to show us some versatility. I think a lot of people would be surprised with this.
Yeah, it's a bit more gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And more genuine, I think. With when I write lyrics, I try to keep them quite, I don't know, nuanced and inconspicuous. But with that one, it's very kind of hard on your sleeve. Like, it's very direct, yeah. So, and I definitely want to keep writing more things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like the first. It's almost, I'm almost nervous about it released, actually.
I think we had the verse for ages.
Yeah.
And didn't know what to do with it. Just like the verse, like the guitar.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I don't know, just one day.
Yeah, like the line, I called your phone last night from Glasgow. Like, yeah, it's very, very direct. I hope I don't get a DM from some guy from years ago. Is this song about me?
So you guys have just begun playing shows again since obviously COVID restrictions lifting and all of that good stuff. How has that been, and when was the first show that you played back?
The first show we did was Voodoo Rock Fest.
Mm-hmm.
That was last summer. In where was that?
It was Kingston area, Napanee.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah.
So the first show was a big long drive, which was kind of good because you didn't really have any chance to be like nervous because it had been a while since we'd done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even proper rehearsals were kind of you could really string a few weeks together before you were kind of closed again. So like having that drive up there, it was just like, well, there's nothing to really think about.
Yeah.
We were just chatting away, and then as soon as we got there, because it took so long, I think the traffic was bad. That's all.
Yeah.
It was like, right, you're here, okay, your set's in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
There was no time to really think about it. And we got shown where everything was, the green room, where to leave our stuff.
Yeah, and then we were on the stage right away.
Yeah. Barely had
time to unlock this.
Yeah, we were up. So, but it went really well.
It was fun, yeah.
It's a brilliant festival, like, out there. Mm-hmm. So if you ever get the chance, you should definitely get tickets and go and see. Mm-hmm. That's where we met Revive the Rose, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, so, look at that.
Yeah, that was how we met. Cool. Which was really cool.
Yeah. How was that? How was that finally being able to play live again?
It was great. Like, well, as soon as you got up on stage, it was like, all right, okay.
Yeah, it was like a weight off your shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I just felt relaxed. You felt like you could just breathe deep again. It was nice.
Yeah. Step in the right direction as well.
Getting things back to normal. Things did kind of close off.
They did, yeah. I think we did that one, and that was kind of it, because then it kind of went back into...
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were grateful we got to do it.
Yeah.
And then we had all these songs by then that we wanted to try and record, so that kind of became the next focus.
We didn't think about our live shows too much during the fall. We were more focused on, like, let's get these songs recorded. We have so many songs on the back burner that we just want to get done and to show the world.
Start releasing music again. Especially here, like, it's so cold and snowy in the winter. It's already hard enough, you know, people come out, but let's just record.
We once drove to a gig and it was like the worst snowstorm. I can't even remember what year that was. It was like a couple of years ago. The Bovine Sex Club we played.
Yeah, we played the Horseshoe Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, the guy came up to us and was like, oh yeah, I've got this gig tomorrow. And it was Valentine's Day at the Bovine. And it was this band pulled out because of the weather. Do you want to play it? And we were like, yeah, of course we want to play it.
Yeah.
So we left all our stuff at the Bovine, the venue. And then went home, and they were like, and then it was really bad weather.
Yeah,
so
really
we
bad.
Can't not go because we've left all our stuff. But.
Yeah, we didn't want to leave our stuff in Toronto.
We had to scrape through. Yeah,
it
Toronto.
Was terrible, and there was no one there.
But
I loved it. Guy was trying to grab the mic from you or something, or trying to.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
I think he was like trying to change like my pickups and stuff, like while I was playing. He looked like Steven Tyler.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
All right, Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So then it was like right after that, it was pretty much okay. Maybe we should just concentrate on recording and rehearsing during these months rather than trying to.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you feel as though the band's style has changed since you first started creating till now?
Well, we did start acoustic, and you can actually hear a lot of the songs that we used to record. So it was like Follow the Breeze, it was very light and airy, and then it changed into like, let's play the hardest, rockiest song that we could play, and then now it's almost like, let's try to find a balance between the two.
Yeah, especially like the bands that we have now is very much influenced by like harder bands like Led Zeppelin and that sort of thing. So like Keegan and Chesco love that, but as we've been playing more and more together, we're definitely getting tighter and more comfortable, and you know, everything is just feeling a lot better. So.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely grown together.
Yeah, I think, like, when we used to play, like, we would play with bands that were, like, really heavy, so we're like, well, we need to be as heavy as possible when we play shows and write music. And now it's kind of like, I don't know, like, we want to find that balance and play more, like we love shoegaze music, like, if you come to our shows, you wouldn't know that we really love shoegaze, but I think now the songs that we're writing are more airy as well. Like a really nice mix, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As we start releasing them, I think people will understand a bit more what we mean.
Yeah.
We definitely have a more eclectic sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And crashing is a good intro to that, but there are a few more.
There's definitely a few more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what can we look forward to seeing from you guys, both in like the near future and like in a couple years? What do you have planning?
So we have our very first music video coming out soon for Gucci Socialist.
Oh, nice.
Which is exciting. Yeah, so that'll be released in April. End of April now, oh my goodness. But,
yeah, next couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's being released very soon. And then we recorded what we thought was going to be our EP, but we've added more songs to that. So we're going to go back into the studio and might be an extended EP. It might be an album. We're not quite sure yet.
But we're just trying to record the songs that we have now before we write new ones. Because it just keeps happening.
So you can definitely expect a new EP this year. Probably the summer. Well, hopefully in the summer.
Yeah, sure.
And then as far as the next couple of years are concerned, I don't know.
Wait and see.
Hopefully just keep doing the same gigs we're doing even bigger gigs. We realize we really enjoy festivals, so we're hoping to do quite a few more festivals in the next couple of years as well. It's hard because I feel like our music style and our music choices evolve so quickly, so we don't know what our sound will be like in the next couple of years. Could be completely different.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and thank you so much for coming on here and talking with me.
Thank you for having us. This is exciting.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
See you at some gigs as well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Totally. I will be there.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sarah.
No problem. Everybody listening, you can find Alice in Transit on all socials as Alice in Transit and under the same name on all streaming services. So we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Alice in Transit. 1,000 Feet Deep is a classic single from the band about being unable to stop yourself from falling in love, even if you know it's a bad idea.
Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Jim from Alice in Transit. And you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on Indie 101.5.
A sweat and jet. This infatuation's grown, and boy, it's taken its toll. I've lost all sense of my self-control. So what's next? 'Cause all these questions are vexing, and I'm not one for protesting, but can we let me off the hook? Throw away the rule book. Won't you release me of my I'm out of excuses, and you've exhausted all.